Surrounded as I am by so great a cloud of witnesses, I must ask, have you come to help our Lord to set fire to the earth? Have you come to help him destroy the family, to divide the nation, to conquer the church? Do you understand that the water of your baptism did not extinguish the holy fire set ablaze in you, but rather those blessed waters feed and spread the fire of the Holy Spirit like gasoline, consuming you, burning you to your perfection? And it's your job and it's my job and it's our job together to run shouting like lunatics, like holy priests and prophets, to run shouting through the dry, tender kindling of this world, setting everything cold, hard, and brittle on fire with the Holy Spirit. And if you will follow Christ, walk his way, carrying his cross as yours, then you will become a holy pyromaniac. Paul writes to the Hebrews, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us rid ourselves of every burden and sin that clings to us. Fire burns its fuel first. The fire of the Holy Spirit burns away every burden and sin, releasing the grip of anxiety and freeing the body and the soul from the sickening weight of disobedience. Essentially, we are lightened for the race before us, unencumbered for navigating the way and finding our morning star. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the leader and perfecter of faith, every burden, every obstacle, every failure is lifted, surmounted, rectified. And we are propelled into the same joy that Christ saw before him through the cross. Through the cross. Not around it, not under it, not above it, but through it. Only through the cross did he and do we come to the long anticipated joy in the presence of the throne of God. But what does only through the cross can we find joy mean? What does it mean day to day, minute to minute? And first, I have to warn you, the race to the cross is heart-wearying. It's not a test, because a test would be too easy. You have the help of the Holy Spirit. What's a test when the Holy Spirit is your cheat sheet? There's no obstacle course, something like a heroic passage from Greek myth. There's no giants to behead. There are no mutant spiders to outwit. You don't even have to memorize any sort of arcane languages or master multiple sets of occult symbols or chase down any wizardly objects. None of that. What you have to do, and what I have to do, what we all have to do, is actually much, much more difficult. You must release your pride, unclench your self-satisfaction and arrogance, your misplaced sense of duty and control, and you must be weak before the Lord, saying, I too wish the world were already ablaze for you, Lord. Enkindle in me the fire of your righteousness. Burn away my burdens and sins, and make me a torch of your purifying love. To joy through the cross. Going to the cross for us, for our example and for our benefit, Christ poured himself out, emptied himself in total subjection to the Father, becoming for us our sin. His kenosis, his emptying, his abandonment to the worst of human depravity, and his freely accepted death for our sake is the spark of a holy fire, the match that pops and flares and sets all creation ablaze in sacrifice. Everything, every person and place, every relationship and bond, every right and wrong, all of it, our peace, our achievements, our grand plans and all of our projects, our deeply held convictions, our logical conclusions, all of our allegiances and sworn wars, science, theology, philosophy, art, all of it. Everything is transfigured. It's transformed in the perfecting conflagration of the cross, the empty tomb, and our Lord's ascension to the right hand of the Father. I tell you, Jesus says, I did not come to bring peace, but division, and to leave everything in ash and smoke. We have not yet resisted sin to the point of shedding blood. Our brothers and sisters in the Middle East have. Those of us in the Sudan have bled and bled. In China, we bleed for the state's fear of an all-consuming fire in the church. In Texas, probably not today or tomorrow. But it's not impossible that one of us here or all of us together could be called to resist sin to the point of shedding blood. Is that frightening? Of course it is. Our faith, or rather our religion, is a comfort to us. We find settled patterns and rhythms here, familiarity and peace. Should our faith be comforting? I mean, should the fact that we trust a man who is willing to die on a cross for us, should we trust him as a source of comfort for us? You have vowed to do the same for me, you know. To die for me, that is. And I've done the same for you. And that promise, that witness, is greater than any family, friends, or neighbors. That promise to stand up and speak up and give witness to a mighty God is greater than the comfort of religion or the temporary excitement of spirituality. For the sake of your joy, beg to be emptied of every burden, every sin, and then fix your eyes on Jesus. He is the only leader, the only perfecter of our faith. Again, surrounded as I am by so great a cloud of witnesses, I must ask, have you come to help our Lord to set the earth on fire?